From Colorado Public Radio, this is Colorado Matters. I'm Sarah Hughes, in for Ryan Warner. As medical marijuana becomes more common in Colorado, landlords increasingly are encountering tenants who are using and growing marijuana. Under state law, a person who has a medical need can possess up to 2 ounces of marijuana. Someone can also possess up to 6 marijuana plants. But who and which law has the final say when a certified user lives in a rented property? Can they smoke and grow at home? For answers, we turn to Drew Hamrick of the Denver law firm Cold Iron and Hamrick, which represents landlords. And he believes landlords have the ultimate say based on what's in the lease.
The primary factor is going to be what the contract says that they signed to use that apartment. The thing that controls most relationships between a landlord and a tenant is plain old simple contract law. There's nothing at all wrong with signing a lease that says you won't smoke in a unit, or certainly that you won't smoke marijuana in a unit. If you have a provision like that, the answer is pretty easy. Even if you just have a more traditional lease that says you won't engage in behavior that unreasonably disturbs your neighbors, or you won't engage in unlawful activity in the unit, both of those clauses could be used to stop you from smoking marijuana in a residential unit. And as long as marijuana use and possession remains unlawful pursuant to federal law, which it is, that gives a landlord the ability to say you're breaching your lease contract by smoking marijuana in the unit.
So what if you had a lease that mentioned marijuana use and Colorado law, and only that?
If it only referenced Colorado law and you were a holder of a medical marijuana card, then your use would not be unlawful pursuant to the contract standard. But that might not end the inquiry, because you're still potentially running afoul of other lease violations in the form of unreasonable disturbances of others, which is also a very common lease clause. The only way a landlord is going to be aware that a tenant is smoking marijuana in their unit is because some neighbor is going to pick up the phone and call the landlord and complain. And I think the smell of marijuana probably is an unreasonable disturbance.
Have courts anywhere weighed in on this issue? Have courts sided with a landlord or tenant on this?
Well, on the smaller issue of, is your lease contract enforceable when it says you're not going to smoke, or you're not going to smoke marijuana, or you're not going to violate the law, yeah, courts weigh in on that every day, and those provisions are enforceable. The question that's going to be interesting is when someone with a legitimate disability and a relationship between that disability and the use of marijuana makes a claim that pursuant to federal and state law, where you have to make reasonable accommodations to a disability, whether that person is going to be able to withstand the challenge of a claimed violation of law. And remember, the standard for being disabled is different and higher than the standard for qualifying for a medical marijuana card.
And that question hasn't come up yet through the courts?
Not that I'm aware. There's, you know, there's a long line of cases that say a landlord has to tolerate, if it's related to a disability, some aggravating behavior on behalf of a tenant from time to time. And that comes up quite frequently with mental disabilities. You know, people with a Tourette syndrome type case that are yelling in the middle of the night. To a point, a landlord may have to tolerate that as a reasonable accommodation.
You work with landlords. Is this issue coming up often? Are landlords coming to you with a lot of questions?
Oh, absolutely. Examples would be, a lot of people don't like to smoke in their homes, marijuana or cigarettes. So they'll go out on their balcony to have a cigarette or a marijuana cigarette, and then somebody sitting on their own balcony smells it. Situations where a marijuana smoker will be smoking at the pool in plain sight of lots of people, and including children. And somebody will say, well, you know, if this truly is medicine, you know, why do they need to medicate at the shallow end? Couldn't they do that at home? Which, you know, begs the question of the legitimacy. So, and we get all kinds of questions about this.
So let's just take one of those examples. Someone who's smoking outside on the balcony, a neighbor complains. What do you advise?
Well, I tell a landlord, serve the tenant with a 3-day demand for possession or compliance that says you have 3 days to stop violating your lease. More than likely, the two violations that they're committing are unreasonable disturbances and unlawful behavior. And we've had requests for, I've drafted, and they're starting to be used, marijuana addendums where the tenant specifically says, I represent and warrant that I will not smoke marijuana in my apartment, and which makes it pretty darn clear cut.
On the reverse side, we've spoken with an attorney who is working with tenants who are trying to kind of bolster protections for them in leases by asking that the contractual language in leases only refer to state law. Are they covered?
Well, if a tenant was successful in negotiating that lease change, then yeah, they would be covered. But what's better for both parties, landlord and the tenant, rather than, you know, the tenant trying to hoodwink the landlord into language that doesn't deal with the issue, or the landlord doing the same, is to sit down and talk about this issue. You know, I'm a medical marijuana user, and I'd like to know before I sign this lease and promise to pay you a bunch of money that I'm going to be allowed to have that use in my apartment. And if you're not willing to allow me to have that use, that's fine. There's, you know, 107,000 other apartments I can go lease. But if you want me to rent this one, then that's a need that I have.
What about tenants who wish to grow marijuana in their apartments? Are they at risk of being told not to, being evicted? What kinds of contractual language deal with that?
Yeah, growing marijuana in a unit is almost certainly going to be a violation of a typical residential lease. The clause that says you won't engage in unlawful activity being one clause. But in addition to that, virtually every residential lease says you're only going to use the apartment for the purposes of a private residence and not for the purposes of conducting a business. So growing marijuana for the purpose of selling it certainly becomes a business opportunity that a landlord would object to. If they're growing it purely for their own consumption, then you'd have to look more closely, you know, even in, for instance, a mold addendum that deals with how water is or is not going to be used in the apartment might provide you a ground to say you're violating that portion of your lease because of the hydroponic type operations involved with the marijuana growing.
So there are a number of parts of a contract having to do with just conditions of the apartment that it sounds like would lend themselves to a landlord who doesn't want marijuana grown there.
Exactly. In the same way you or I might sign a lease that says we're not going to have a waterbed or a fish tank that's bigger than 30 gallons or what have you in a lease, you're likely to find language there that would stop any substantial growing operation in an apartment complex. The best example I can give you is it's perfectly legal to grow corn in the state of Colorado, but that doesn't mean you can grow it in the living room of your landlord's apartment.
Back to the scenario where you have a neighbor complain. Say that neighbor takes the complaint even higher. Could the landlord get in trouble in any way for not coming down on a tenant who is using or growing?
Until recently, the answer would have been emphatically no, in that the landlord has not been responsible for the bad acts of third parties, including those third parties that happen to be the landlord's tenant. With the recent adoption of the warranty of habitability in Colorado, the complaining party could pursue the landlord, which is one of the reasons a landlord can't just sit there and say, you know, not my problem, you guys work it out. The landlord gets legally drug into the fight.
Drew Hamrick is with the Denver law firm Cold Iron and Hamrick, which offers legal advice to landlords. You can hear more of our stories about the booming medical marijuana industry and the laws surrounding it at our website, cpr.org.